This is your daily news fix, the Daily Brief, right here on RCR.
Good afternoon, it's Wednesday, February 19th, and I'm Megan McNamara bringing you RCR's Daily Brief. First up, it's Paul Brennan bringing you today's news. Then we'll hear some comments from an interview about the Independent Police Complaints Authority report on policing at the Let Women Speak event in Albert Park, which descended into chaos and violence nearly 2 years ago. The report was released yesterday. And of course, Natalie Cutler-Welsh joins us as usual with RCR Signpost. Now to the news.
Good afternoon, I'm Paul Brennan for RCR. StatsNZ Chief Executive Mark Souden has resigned following a report into the Manurewa Marae scandal, which found serious failings in how government agencies protect private data and manage conflicts of interest. The report said StatsNZ should have done more to prevent conflicts, given that Manurewa Marae staff were responsible for both collecting census information and electioneering for the Māori Party. Following the report, several agencies have been instructed to pause any new or existing contracts with Te Pō Matakana, the Waiparere Trust, and Manurewa Marae until those contracts can be properly reviewed. Last year, the Electoral Commission admitted it failed to manage a perceived conflict of interest when Manurewa Marae acted as a polling station while its chief executive, Takutai Tash Kemp, was running as a candidate. In other New Zealand news, Public Service Commissioner Sir Brian Roach said he would consider merging or eliminating departments to cut inefficiencies and duplication. ACT MP Todd Stevenson welcomed the comments and suggested starting with dismantling the Human Rights Commission and several other agencies. The Independent Police Conduct Authority has released its report into the 2023 violent protest at Albert Park. The investigation followed complaints that New Zealand police failed to protect Speaker Posy Parker at the Let Women Speak event. The report found the initial risk assessment was inadequate, leading to poor planning and a failure to respond promptly to rising tensions on the day. From the 1st of June, multinational food giants Mars and Nestle have agreed to support a cash incentive for Fonterra dairy farmers as part of efforts to tackle the so-called climate crisis. Fonterra described the scheme as offering bonuses of 1 to 5 cents per kilogram of milk solids for about 80% of dairy farms and up to 10 to 25 cents for farms with already low carbon emissions. Turning to international news, German authorities have raided 50 homes in a crackdown on so-called hate speech and misinformation. The raids took place just days after US Vice President J.D. Vance delivered a fiery speech in Munich, criticizing Europe's censorship and mass immigration policies. Now for RCR Quick Links, more than 60 jobs have been axed at Callaghan Innovation in the government's overhaul of the science sector. Auckland City Hospital will receive extra funding of more than $14 million to replace its main water supply and ring mains. Auckland Council has proposed relocating the suburb of Kumeu due to flood risk. Economic Growth Minister Nicola Willis said another supermarket chain has expressed interest in setting up in New Zealand. Directors have been appointed for Ferry Holdings Limited, the company charged with negotiating ferry procurement contracts for two new inter-island ferries. And that's RCR Bytes news for today. It's Wednesday, the 19th of February. I'm Paul Brennan.
Now to the IPCA's report on policing of the Posy Parker Let Women Speak event, which was released yesterday. On March 25, 2023, women's rights advocate Kelly J. Keane, aka Posy Parker, was infamously mobbed and assaulted by trans activists at the event she was hosting in Albert Park, Auckland, along with many other women who attended. Keane came by invitation to New Zealand to give Kiwi women a platform to express their concerns about the impact of gender ideology on their private spaces and to voice concerns about the safeguarding of children from unnecessary medical procedures. What happened that day was a shameful mobbing of peaceful women who had been blocked from voicing such concerns in other forums. Adding to the tension was the grossly inadequate policing. Commentators who were there have said the situation was extremely volatile and dangerous because the police refused to intervene to protect Keane or the other women that came to speak. In an eyewitness account from Katrina Biggs, she said, quote, "There were no police as far as the eye could see. There were none on the way, and I saw none when I finally did manage to get out. And the protesters knew it. You could tell. They knew they could act with impunity. You could tell they knew that they had the blessing of the media, the government, and now seemingly the police. At one point, someone pointed their flag at one of the ladies up there with us. She grabbed it and it broke. He then used the shard to try to jab her in the stomach. I had to dodge out of the way to avoid getting accidentally stabbed with it. I've never been so scared." Unquote. The IPCA received more than 100 complaints about the way the event was policed. RCR host Marie Buskey caught up with videographer and independent journalist Simon Anderson yesterday to discuss the report. It was Simon's footage of the chaos and violence that day that shocked the world, providing undeniable proof of what had occurred, while the mainstream media was busy distorting the events and blaming the women who came to speak. Let's hear some of that interview now.
It's a whitewash. It's an absolute establishment whitewash that is designed to ensure that the police corruption is not exposed, and that the political collusion between the Labour Party MPs, the Labour Leader's Office, and the Green Party with senior police is not exposed and not criticised in and by the general public.
What are some of the other glaring things that should have been discussed, were discussed in interview within the inquiry, and yet crickets in the report?
Well, there are many things. Why are many of the women who were assaulted in Albert Park report that the police officers who refused to accept their reports of violence against them repeated the same sentence? They all repeated, and it was unusual, they all repeated the same sentence, which was, "We are not here to protect you. We are not here to protect you." And they said this independently. And it seemed to be that they had been instructed to say that. It seemed to be that the police had been instructed to take sides, to aid and abet the rainbow violence, and to dismiss any complaints like that. Other things like in the Official Information Act responses, there are communications from a particular police officer, a chap by the name of Rona Stace, who is a police officer who presents as a woman, who has some involvement with Auckland Pride. Now, in the days and weeks leading up to Albert Park, there were some email communications from Rona Stace that were mentioned inside the OIA responses, either in his capacity as a serving New Zealand police officer or in his capacity as some sort of representative of the Auckland Pride organisation. Now, the content of those emails was completely redacted in every OIA response. This also is something that was not addressed by the report, which of course is relatively convenient. I also would have liked to have seen if there were any discussions between the police commissioner's office and the Labour and Green political parties in the days leading up to it, particularly because what happened was that a bunch of Labour and Green Party MPs, the likes of Chloe Swarbrook and from the Green Party, and Shannon Halbert and Marima Davidson, announced that they were going to attend. And that is the point when police completely stopped any sort of communication with the Let Women Speak event organisers. It seemed to me that looking at the timeline of it, that there are questions to be asked about, okay, so police head office in Wellington became aware that a bunch of left-wing politicians were going to be joining in the rainbow demonstration, and suddenly the police wanted to have no more communications with the organisers of the actual ticketed event. And I think that is also a question that it would have been reasonable to expect the IPCA investigation to investigate.
But that's not all. Marie and Simon argue that the report not only appears to be a whitewash, but it also seems to be setting the stage for something even more troubling.
One of the recommendations they've come out with is that police should lead a development of new legislation that would include not only how organisers should notify authorities of their protest, but how traffic management plans should be handled and how organisers need to tell their participants about any conditions imposed on their protest. I mean, the ridiculousness of that statement, just let that sink in for a moment. The IPCA recommend police should lead the development of new legislation, which should include not only how organisers should notify authorities of their protest, but how traffic management plans should be handled and how organisers need their participants about any conditions, tell the participants about any conditions imposed in their protest. Now, there are some, particularly very large, that will actually, like, for example, if they're going across the Harbour Bridge, that they will let authorities know. That makes perfect sense. But this then opens the door of what would be considered by those authorities under legislation, what defines acceptable protest and what does not, surely.
You're right. You are a very wise lady, and you've picked up on that. The broader issue is that, quite aside from the corrupt IPCA conducting this whitewash report, it's actually worse. What they're using it as a charter to crack down on dissent and to outlaw free speech. You can see that this is the absolute objective of it, and it very much aligns with what Paul Goldsmith is trying to do with the Law Commission right now, where it's like, okay, well, you know, we have people like Lucy Rogers counter-demonstrating. We don't like that. The police should be able to, arrest her, and there should be no consequences for that. In terms of the social harm of this report, there is certainly a broader issue. And I think it does, it's very much part of a broader discussion that many countries in the West are having right now about basic civil liberties, in particular free speech.
RCR will, of course, stay across any developments. That wraps up our news and commentary for today. Now let's head to Natalie Cutler-Welsh and RCR's Signpost.
Thanks, Megan. Welcome to The Signpost. Natalie here, pointing you to our must-watch shows, ways to get involved and take empowered action. Fresh on the app today, one I've been waiting for as a Canadian-born Kiwi. Simon O'Connor sits down with Canadian MP Kevin Vuong to unpack Trudeau's looming resignation and Trump's growing influence across the border.
Well, for the longest time, our Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, and yes, he is still Prime Minister, had said all of the right things. But the challenge when you are all sizzle and no steak is eventually the people notice.
Also coming up today, Marie Buskey and Simon R. Anderson dive into media bias, public trust, Destiny Church protests, and the Posey Parker controversy. And Paul Brennan talks to Liz Gunn's lawyer, Matthew Haig, about the airport assault case and how a simple touch sparked a legal storm. And this just dropped. Paul Brennan and former BBC investigative journalist Tony Gosling go deep on Trump, Ukraine, and the deep history of geopolitics. Tim Wilms checks in from Australia with the Wilms Report, tackling racism and hate speech. In Rodney's Reflections, Rodney Hyde raises concerns about schools shifting from education to indoctrination. And on the Rural Report, Don and Jaspreet highlight the need for local water management and urgent reforms to the Resource Management Act. Don't forget to have your say on the Water Reforms Bill before this Sunday, the 23rd of February. You can check the show notes for the link to the official submissions page. Water services are amongst the most critical services delivered by councils. Make sure you have your say on the delivery models being proposed by the government. The free speech debate rages on. You can catch Rodney Hyde and Brian Tamaki discussing the controversial Man Up protest, while Paul Brennan questions whether it was a bold stand or just fueling division. Similarly, Mary Byrne from Fluoride Free NZ exposes mainstream media silence on fluoridation and the growing push for a public inquiry. If you missed Sunday's RCR Tips and Tricks webinar, no problem. You can catch it now, and today's show notes have the link. Alia and Marie will show you around the new app and the website so you can get the most out of RCR 2.0. The gene technology bill deadline may have passed, but the fight isn't over. Keep the pressure on, use our RCR action tracker, resources, and spread the word, and even write to your MP because your voice matters. Remember, new content drops daily, so you can check out the slick new channel called Latest at the top of the app for seamless listening. Just tap and enjoy. And as always, we love hearing from you. Please keep the feedback coming. You can send us a text 2057 or email at inbox@realitycheck.radio. That's all from me for today. Megan, back to you.
And that's all from us here at The Daily Brief. As always, you'll find all the links to the interviews featured in today's episode below. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and analysis. Until then, see ya.